think about where they are and what they're doing, various pastors that are friends of mine and what they're doing. And I think about this time, they're probably standing behind the pulpit and just beginning to try to preach the Word. And we communicate in the morning times. We text one another and we encourage one another. We pray for one another. We type out our prayers and our text messages for each other. We express our love to one another. I like to think about that my brethren in Christ are standing, just getting started preaching. I like to think about, somehow I visualize God up in heaven, God the Father, my idea, and I like to think about how He looks down on us and the manifold number of churches and individuals in those church buildings that are entering into worship all at the same time. You know, there's no rule that we meet at 11. It's our custom, it's our practice, and I like it. But there's just something about that worship hour when people are coming together all across at least this time zone where it's 11 o'clock. Somehow it seems to me that God must be pleased with that. If we're come together to worship Him in spirit and truth, and that's our desire, I think He's got to be pleased with that. He must be pleased with that. And just helps me to think that I'm taking part of corporate worship in this land in which we live. May God bless it. We read Hebrews 11, verse 8. I'd like to read it again for a couple of reasons, not the least of which is I forgot to turn on my recorder, so I need to read it again. But I want to hear it again. I want you to hear it again. By faith, Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should after receive for an inheritance, obeyed. And he went out, not knowing whither he went. This is a description of a great man of faith. Brethren, the last time or two we were together, we looked at other men of great faith. We looked at Abel a few days ago. He by faith, look at verse 4, by faith, this is how they did what they did, brethren, by faith. Abel, he offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice. That's the outstanding thing we know about Abel. By faith, Enoch. And the Enoch's mentioned in verse 5. Enoch. He walked with God, brethren. He had that testimony that he walked with God and he pleased God. And the writer writes a sort of a little parenthetical in verse 6. It says he pleased God in the verse 5. And then at the beginning of 6, he says, without faith, it's impossible to please Him. By the way, Enoch, the writer would say, I'm telling you about the great man Enoch, and he pleased God. He did it by faith. And by the way, without faith, you can't please God. You can't, and I can't. God's not pleased if we're not walking by faith, brethren, and living by faith. And then he goes on to Noah. By faith, verse 7, Noah. Noah was warned of God. He was alerted of God. He was instructed of God. It says he moved with fear. He prepared an ark to the saving of his house. And as he was righteous, he condemned the unrighteousness of the world of his day. All by faith, by faith, by faith. Today, brethren, another hero of faith. You know, brethren, you know this, and I quote it often, the Scriptures are given to us. They're, number one, they're inspired of God. This is the writings of holy men of old. They wrote as they were moved along by the Spirit of God. We're told that in the Word of God. And we're also told that this Scripture is profitable to us for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. All of those are good causes. Certainly they are. They're very good. But I particularly at this moment like the last one, for instruction in righteousness. It's instruction on how you and I ought to live, brethren. We're in a dark world and we need that doctrine. We need this Word of God, the Scriptures, to lighten our way and to direct our way. I use a flashlight, it seems like, more and more often. My phone has a has a light on it, a flashlight on it. And the other day, Jan and I were in a house that their family owns. It's vacant, and we were in there looking around, and I kept my flashlight out. The power's on, but I still needed my flashlight to see. And it illumines things, brethren, that we need to see. And God tells us in Psalm 119, 105, I believe it is, "Thy word is a lamp unto our feet, my feet, and a light unto my path." We need it, brethren. We need it. So these scriptures that we're studying today, brethren, they're light to us, and they're direction to us, and they're examples to us by faith. These scriptures tell us, brethren, what these men and women did by faith. I said to you last time, or the time before, I said to you, not everyone has faith. I think it's Jude. I'm not sure. I forgot to look it up. But there's that quote that says, all men have not faith. All mankind, not all of mankind, have faith. I think I probably said to you, I believe that you do. You must. You're here. Your faith has brought you here. Your faith has brought you to the house of God. You have faith in the one true and living God. You have that faith that was once delivered to the saints. You've adopted that faith. You believe it. You believe the doctrines of faith once delivered. It's been delivered to us. Here it is. Here's the package. Here it is right here. You got it. And you've been given a measure of faith. Faith, the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. There's the articles of faith. There's that faith that was delivered to us. It's the doctrinal truths of the Word of God. There's that. But brethren, to make that alive and real to you, you've had a measure of faith given to you in your heart and mind. And you have it. These heroes of faith did what they did, brethren, by the faith instilled in them, given to them. Not everybody has it. It's a gift from God. And what a gift it is, brethren, a measure of faith. Not everyone uses that measure of faith like they should. I don't. When I read where Jesus says, "O ye of little faith," or "Where's your faith?" Man, I believe He's talking to me. It just penetrates my mind when I read that. And I say, He's got to be talking to me. The Holy Spirit of God applying those words to me. I thought of this morning, brethren. Look at verse 6. "But without faith it is impossible to please Him." That's God. Without faith it's impossible to please God. I thought about those two words this morning when I was going over my notes. Please God. You know what I thought about this morning? I thought about this. I am so busy saying, "Please God, please God, please God, do this for me," that I sometimes forget all about pleasing God. You get it? You get that little play on words there? Oh, I say all the time, "Please God, do this or do that," or "Please God, don't do this, don't do this." Instead of being worried more about, concerned about me pleasing God. Please, it's impossible to please God without faith. Okay, let's look at Abraham. Let's look at this man. By faith, there's the two words to start the description about Abraham. By faith. The writer of Hebrews tells us, again, here's somebody I'm going to tell you about, and what he did, brethren, was by faith. By faith, Abraham. There he is. His name initially was Abram. And God changed his name to Abraham. When he was called. I want to stop right there. Just let that sink in. Abraham was called. And God called him. What was he called to do? To go out, it says. Called to go out. This writer in Hebrews is telling us about Abraham. Well, if you've read Genesis, if you've been to church much in your life, if you've heard much preaching, probably heard preaching about Abraham. The father of the faithful, he's called often. He probably, Sister Linda, he probably was the greatest hero of the Jewish people. Would you agree? She's nodding. You can read in the New Testament where Jesus is warring back and to with the scribes, Pharisees, and man, they'll bring up Abraham. They'll bring up Abraham. And Jesus said one day, I lost my thought. He said about Abraham, he said, Abraham rejoiced. He saw my day and rejoiced, right? Did I get pretty close? Now, brethren, Abraham is a great man in Jewish history. He's a great man in the Bible. He's a great man. And Jesus was talking about him, but Jesus had the audacity, if you will, to say, Abraham saw my day and rejoiced. Now there's a big statement, and it probably infuriated those guys. But anyway, it's the truth. The call of Abraham. Let's read it. Go to Genesis chapter 12. Genesis chapter 12 and verse 1. The Word of God says, "Now the Lord had said to Abram," same man, "get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred and from thy father's house unto a land that I will show thee." What a call. What a call. How would you like to hear that call today? Brother or sister, Holy Spirit of God say to you, I'm calling you to leave your house and leave your family. And I'm going to show you where to go. I'm not telling you right now where you're going to go, but I'll show you. How'd you like to hear that? That's scary, if I do say so. It would be to me. In the book of Acts, chapter 7, Stephen, the Messiah has come now. The Messiah was a future event when Abram lived and Abraham lived. When Stephen lived, Stephen, the first Christian martyr, the Messiah had come. The prophecies had been fulfilled. Jesus has come. Jesus has been crucified. He's risen from the dead. He's ascended back into heaven. And Stephen is standing before some Jewish men, authority, the Sanhedrin, who had the power to take his life. And his life was shortly taken after he spoke these words. But I'm going here to chapter 7 of Acts to say to you that, to just cite to you a further instance of the call of Abraham. Stephen, as he's giving his defense before the Sanhedrin council, he says, "Men, brethren, and fathers, hearken. The God of glory appeared unto our father Abraham when he was in Mesopotamia, before he dwelt in Charan," and that's the same as Haran, "and said unto him," this is what Stephen says, God said this to Abraham, "get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred and come into the land which I will show thee." And it goes on, but there's two instances right there in history, the Bible history, where men are talking about Abraham and his call. Now over into Hebrews, a little later in time, the Hebrew writer writes this: "By faith, Abraham, when he was called," Abraham got a call from God. Brethren, doctrine now. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God, is profitable for doctrine. I want to give you some doctrine. Here's the doctrine, brethren. God calls His people. God calls His people. I got a call from God. I don't know how old I was, but I was a little boy. And God said this to me. He said, "You are a sinner. You are doing stuff that's wrong. You are going straight to hell." That's what God told me. And I kept listening to God, and I kept listening to the preachers who were inspired by the Holy Spirit of God. And they would say things like, "Jesus died for your sins. Jesus died for your sins, and you're not going to hell. 'Twas grace that taught my heart to fear." Grace, the God of grace, scared. But He scared the hell out of me. because grace my fears relieved. God then began to say, you're not going to hell. You're not going to hell. Because my son died for you. He came. He came and he died for you. Oh, I'd heard lots of preaching about Jesus on the cross. I'd heard it all my life. Because, brothers and sisters, I was in the church house on Sunday morning. I had to be. I didn't have any choice. And praise God for that. If it had been up to me, I wouldn't have gone. But I didn't have a choice in the matter. And after all those years, I don't know how many it was, but after all those years, brethren, it began to make sense to me. And I began to understand it and believe it and embrace it. Because I had been given a measure of faith from God above. The Holy Spirit came and regenerated me and made me alive. And God, brethren, was doing something called the effectual call. That means it has an effect. I was with my grandboys the other day and I was calling them to do something and it didn't have much of an effect. But I got up and I went to where they were and I threatened them and it had an effect. But that's the only way it did. But brethren, when God calls you from death to life, it has an effect. And that's why it's called the effectual call. Abraham experienced the effectual call. He came to know God. He came to know that he was a sinner. And he came to know that he had a Savior. The Savior had not come in time at that point. But brethren, Abraham knew about the promise. That, as Brother Ralph reminded us this morning, God says, oh, you're going to bruise his heel. I'm going to put enmity between your seed, you and your minions, and the seed of the woman. The offspring of the woman. Mary's offspring. Jesus. You're going to bruise his heel, but he's going to bruise your head. He's going to crush your head. Abraham knew that promise. In fact, brethren, God said to Abraham, In you, all the nations of the earth are going to be blessed. That Messiah is coming from you. He's going to be a descendant of you, Abraham. So Abraham experienced, brethren, the effectual call, and then he experienced the call we're reading about this morning. There's the doctrine, the doctrine I wanted to give you. But and after, brethren, Abraham experienced the effectual call, God calls him again. He says, I've got work for you to do. And by the way, brethren, when God calls you from death into life, then the Holy Spirit and the Scriptures call you into service. And they say, do this, don't do this. I'm calling on you. Oh man, to get called on. What a privilege. When I was in school, some days when I'd read and studied and had my homework, I wanted to be called on. The other days when I was unprepared, you teachers know about it, don't you? Oh man, how do they know when you're not prepared? Sister Jane, how do y'all know that? You look at us and we won't look at you, or I make eye contact or something, or we look down. Anyway, by faith Abraham, when he was called, here's the call of Abram, brethren, right? Abraham. He was called to go out. That's his call. To go out into a place which he should after receive for an inheritance. Abraham got that call to go out. Brethren, usually, I maybe invariably, but most times I would think when it's called to do something. It's called to go. It's a call to action. God calls us, brethren, into action. Now, I want you to watch the punctuation marks in this sentence, brethren. The writer, he wants us to get it, the reaction of Abraham when he got the call. Watch it as I read. By faith, Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should after receive for an inheritance. And then, in my Bible, brethren, there's a comma right there. That means a brief pause, right? He tells us something. He's riding along and he says, Abraham got a call that he should go out into a place that God was going to give him for an inheritance. Comma. Stop. So the thought enters our mind. Okay, Abraham got a call. What happened? Obeyed. One word. Isn't that good? Abraham, when he got his call, When God told him to do a certain thing, he obeyed. Obeyed. I love that word. How did Abraham, brethren, become known as the father of the faithful? How is so much written in the Bible about Abraham and why? Because, brethren, he was obedient. He obeyed. He obeyed. Don't you love it, parents, when your children obey you? When we give instruction and they do what we say? Oh, it's a good fellowship follows that, and a good feeling. Abraham, when he was called, obeyed. And he went out not knowing whither he went. We already read the instructions God gave him to leave your homeland, leave your home. The first time he went, if I've got it right, his dad went with him. But the second time God told him to move on, he left his homeland. He left Ur of the Chaldees. And he came into the promised land because God had promised it to him. He said, I'm going to give it to you. He left and he came into the land of Canaan. But it says here, he went out initially not knowing whither he went. I told you this before. I thought about it in preparing this. I want to tell you again. When my brother and I were little boys, Daddy would walk through the room and he'd say, let's go, boys, or come on, boys, something like that. Come go with me. And he wouldn't stop. He'd just keep walking. And we'd get up and we'd go. We obeyed. And the shelter where Daddy kept his truck was across the yard. In those days, it seemed like a long walk to me, but it's not very far, actually, now that I'm grown. But we'd be walking across the yard, following Daddy, about a step behind him. And one of us would say, Daddy, where are we going? I've told you this before. I shared it with you. And I don't remember a single time Daddy stopping or saying, well, boys, we're going to do this, or we're going here, or going there. He'd just keep walking. I don't know why he would do that, unless to teach us just trust him, not worry about it, or he didn't have time, or he was thinking about what he was going to do. I don't know why. But we obeyed, and we went with him. And I remember getting in the old truck with him, and he'd back it out from under the shelter, and here we'd go down what we call the little road that led out of our yard and onto the hard road. And we'd just be sitting up there, two little boys with their daddy, on that old bench seat, no seat belts in those days, just sitting up there riding along, trusting our daddy, because we knew that he knew where he was going and that he had our interest at heart and he loved us. And whatever was going to happen, Daddy's going to take care of us. Do you see where I'm going with this? That God said to Abraham, go, let's go, and I'll show you where we're going once you get there. I'm not telling you now. And he walked in faith, brethren, like we walked in faith. If you read about Abraham from place to place where he went a lot of places. In fact, these verses that follow, it says, verse 9, it says, he sojourned in the land of promise. He was a stranger in that land. He moved around. God led him around. If you read about his travels, you'll see many times it says he stopped at this place and he built an altar unto the Lord. I might have preached about that to you before. I'm not sure I preached about it somewhere. But it appears to me that the first thing Abraham would do when he stopped would build him an altar unto God. Oh, what a man. I mean, that shows you where his interest lay. What he thought was important, brethren, he's going to build him a place to worship. First thing. He went out not knowing whither he went. God, brethren, tests our faith when he calls us to do certain things. He knows the outcome, but brethren, it's good for us to exercise our faith. Now, in closing, I want to tell you about your call. I want to tell you, I know what your call is. I know it. I don't have special insight into each of your lives. I don't know that. But there's a call recorded in the Word of God that's for you and for me. So I know that much. I want to tell you. I want you to... Here comes your call. I hope, brethren, that as I speak these words, that it's the Holy Spirit of God that's calling on you to listen up and to obey this call. I know this is your call and it's mine. We're going to close with this. Go to 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians, here's your call, chapter 6. Here it is. Let me be more specific and say, here's one of your calls. Here's one of them. But this is one of them, brethren. Verse 14, chapter 6, 2 Corinthians. Be not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. Now, you're going to run into unbelievers, brethren. You're going to run into them. You're going to have some contact with them. But don't get yoked together with them. And here's why. For what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness? Righteousness, that's you, brethren, with unrighteousness. And what communion hath light with darkness? Your light, brethren. What concord? That word concord means accord or harmony. What accord or harmony, what concord hath Christ with Belial? Belial is a demon of the devil. Well, you know, the answer to all this is none. Or what part of hath he that believeth with an infidel, with an unbeliever? And what agreement hath the temple of God with idols? For ye are the temple of the living God. As God hath said, I will dwell in them and walk in them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. That's the new covenant promise right there. We studied that in Hebrews already. Now here's your call, brethren. Abraham got called out, brethren. Here's your and my call. Wherefore, come out. Brethren, God said to Abraham, come out. Get thee out. Here's your call and mine. Wherefore, come out from among them, that's the ones listed above, and be ye, you be separate. Separate yourself, and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you, and I will be a father unto you, and ye shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty. Now there's your call right there. That's one of many, but that's one. I don't know what God, by the Spirit, what else He'll call you to do, but He will call you to do other things. He'll lead you, but He'll never forsake you. He'll always be with you. And He may not show you at the outset. He may not tell you where you're going to end up. But I can tell you, brethren, it'll be good if you obey that call. If you obey like Abraham, when he was called to go out, he obeyed. You have the promise of God who cannot lie. You have the promise of God who says, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. You have the promise of God who says, I'll be a father unto you, and you'll be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty. None can stay his hand or say unto him, what doest thou? You have that promise. So I would recommend to you, brethren, I'd exhort you, when God calls you, go, obey, do what He says. Let me just close, bore you with one more detail of my life. God called me to come up here, to this place, to this church. And I've told you probably I didn't particularly want to. I had other things I wanted to do. I loved you all. I'd been here over the years many times. I loved you and I loved this place. But there were things of the flesh that were appealing to me that I wanted to do. But God gave me the grace to say yes, because I knew that's what I should say. And I did that. And I couldn't be happier. I couldn't be happier. He's given me a whole new family out there, loved ones, lots of great fellowship. things too numerous to mention. And then most recently, give me a wife. I came up here without one. And, you know, pretty lonesome, but I was getting by and praying to God. But, you know, after just a little while, wasn't all that long, here she is. I say that, brethren, just to say to you, God can do anything. And there's that verse in the New Testament that says something like, now to him that is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that you can ask or think. It's something like that, if I didn't get it just right. To him that's able to do more than you can ever ask or imagine. That's describing God who calls people, who calls them from death to life, and then he calls them into service. So obey the call, brethren. I'm one that's disobeyed it a lot of times. I don't want to give you the idea that I'm always obedient. I'm not. But when I am, brethren, it works out great. I'd urge you to do it. Oh, Lord God, bless us to hear and obey your call. We thank you for calling us from death to life. Thank you for that. That's you, Lord. That's your work. And we acknowledge it. We just acknowledge that's your work. But then after you've done that, Lord, you've given us life. You call us into service. You call us. You have work for us to do. And bless us to know that. And it can be a work of one day's work, or it can be a work of a lifetime. Bless us to know that. Just bless us to be obedient. And just like Abraham of old, let it be said of us, when he was called, he obeyed. Thank you, Father, for that, and your good hand upon him and his life, and that we're able to study it and read about it and use it for our example and our learning, for our encouragement. Oh God, encourage us. May we exercise that measure of faith you've given us. In the name of Jesus, the name above every name, we pray. Amen. Brethren, God calls you to, if you haven't already, he calls you to unite with his church. You have that opportunity now as we stand and sing this last hymn. If you know the Holy Spirit of God is calling you to do that, then you have that opportunity. Good to obey. May we do that as we stand and sing. Brother Kevin. Thank you.